harass, this is from my grandmother, used to harass Jews. I guess my grandfather belonged to a gang where they kind of search out the Gentile that did it and beat him up.
Shimshon was your grandfather, yes? Yeah.
Great grandfather.
That's the only picture, the surviving picture. And on, next to it is my great grandmother, his wife.
There was a tochter, one daughter your grandfather had. What was her name? How many children were there?
There were 11 children.
11 children?
11
in Malawi? 11 children.
Yeah. I know one of his daughters came here, married with a son, but she died in 1930. She had, complications of some kind. She died rather young. Her son is still.
My sister was a friend to one of his daughters. I don't know which one. What were their names?
I believe this one is Rochel.
Yeah.
And this one was Chana. Was that Chana Leah? I'm not sure. There's more older, perhaps, photos in the next pages that might be easier to recognize.
Who is this?
This is a Tachna, Rochel.
Yeah.
This is her husband. His name was Silverstein, or Silverstein?
In Malawi.
Right. And this was her son, Michael, or Mikhail?
His son.
Yeah. That's my grandfather right here. I believe my grandmother wasn't sure, but she think that might have been taken when he first got in New York.
They were a family, you know, not an Orthodox family. I come from an Orthodox background.
Mm-hmm.
But they were not Orthodox. Maybe the grandfather, maybe he was. But the children were very progressive children already. The Tachnas, you know.
Uh-huh.
Very progressive. And they used to have a property on the Tepedas, like you say, you know.
Uh-huh.
Malawi was an old city, was an intelligent city, you know, but a very old city. I don't know how long, it was 1,000 years or 900 years. They used to live, they had their own property, you know, a wooden house in the backyard. They were over there having the business, they're making the leather, you say, you know. I never was in that backyard, but in the front I was many times, you know, going by. It was not far from the shul, you know, there was in the heart of the ghetto in the time of the war, property, you know. The whole thing in Malawi was, the Jewish section was all wiped off. Empty place. The cemetery was wiped off, the fence and the stone, everything was removed and wiped off, not left off. See, I was mobilized in Malawi in 1945, the army 4 weeks before the war.
Mm-hmm.
In 39, I was mobilized. I served 2 years, in 35 and 36, I served in the Polish army 2 years. And 39, 4 weeks before the war, they feared the Polacks felt that the Germans were going to attack him. They asked him, you know, about the, you know, after the First World War, they took away a part, split Germany on two, dancing the corridor, you know, the whole thing. So they wanted back. Hitler wanted back. They didn't want to get back. So they expect a war. So I was mobilized in 1939, in the Polish army, and I fell out of prison to the Russian. The German in the Russian come squeeze Paul in the middle, and I fell out prison to the Russian, and I didn't go back to Poland. No, I was already in the Russia in the army in the Second World War. All the years in the Russian army. I was a volunteer in the Russian army. When I come home in 45. I was from a different world, but I couldn't recognize it. It wasn't like it would exist before. I couldn't believe in my own eyes what happened in Malawi. Nothing was over there, absolutely nothing. The Tachnas, whatever it was over there, it looks like nobody left over after the war. You never hear about him, huh? From those people after the war.
What I always grew up hearing, from what my dad heard and he told me, is that everybody was gone. I didn't even know that I had some relations that at the turn of the century came to New York. I believe that's about as much as my father knew. My grandma recalls that my grandfather got a letter from a cousin who had just escaped Malava, saying that his youngest brother, David, had been rounded up by the Germans and was one of 50 men hung, I guess, in public somewhere. His picture is in one of these photos. The rest of the fate of my great-grandmother and other aunts and uncles is a mystery, still.
Like anybody, like my parents, we were a family of 7 children, 6 sons, 1 daughter. I was the 5th, and I had 2 younger brothers. The youngest brother was mobilized the same time where I was, 1939, and we lost each other. Later on, a year and a half later, I find them, you know. And he was in a different place, now a different place. The war broke out. I was joined the Russian army, and he looks like he didn't go no place. And I was like it was the east of Poland, in White Russia, you know. They ran away to the woods, and they would cry and kill them anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. So, see, those pictures I see your father, the family is fairly familiar to me, in your grandfather, the same thing.
Well, his father was much younger than you.
His father was born here.
Yeah, that's why I say you wouldn't know the father. Grandfather.
Yeah. is your father's father, what was his name?
In Hebrew or Yiddish?
Yiddish, yeah.
Hershnuta.
Right. He came here in 1923, you say, yes?
Yeah. And he settled in Detroit about 10 years later.
And what?
He settled in Detroit about 10 years after that.
Do you have the Pincus, you say, Pincus Malava?
Yeah.
How do you have that?
For my grandfather. My father had it, said he got it from his father.
He got it from where? From where did he get it? That was printed in Israel.
I really don't know. I imagine because my grandfather's from Malava, somebody gave it to him or sent it to him.
Because we had copies of the newer ones we gave it to the...
You have? This is it?
Exact cover and everything. My grandfather's picture.
But you don't know how to read it.
No.
Oh.
The ones are coming.
See, I have an idea for you. We have later on Israel printed the history of Malava, you know, in very detail. When you would know how to read the Pincus, you understand Yiddish? You understand?
No.
If you would know how to read it, that would be very interesting for you. You would enjoy very much. You have all the characteristics from the city, from hundreds of years, and types, stories, all the kind of that Pincus. It's a very important thing, you know. Even I wrote an article after the war on that Pincus. You know.
One thing my father always did show me was my
grandfather. You know how to daven.
I'm learning a little bit. Yeah, I'm not from a religious background like...
You see here. This is Shimon Kozik. You see, this is my name. The last Yid in Malava, the last Jew in Malava. That was I was when I come after the war and nobody was there. So they give me the title, the last Yid in Malava. See, this is the article that I wrote. It's a shame that you can understand that, you can read it. You would very much enjoy, you would be satisfied, you find out everything. Well, you say your father is in here?
My grandfather's picture.
Is here.
And there's three Chakmans listed in the index. But again, it's hard to find anyone who can translate for me.
Oh, and your sister don't know either Yiddish, huh?
No, they don't.
I told you, the Tachnit, they were not such a, you know, high Orthodox. I wasn't close with them, but we knew each other. It wasn't such a big city, you know. Sure. So these two books, they are already in the Malava Jews, you see? Jewish Malava. Mm-hmm. This is in English, in Hebrew, and in Yiddish. I'll give you those books. Yeah. Hard, I don't know how much. That part is in English. So this is, that was the shul, the ark, the Malavis shul. That way, the Orthodox, young people looks like in Malavis.
Those
were
the Bukhars, yeah. Those would be like the Bukhars or the
Yeah,
Bukhars?
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you that book to read, you know, to read the English part, because you can read the Jewish part.
I'm curious, there's another, besides my great-grandfather who's mentioned in the Pinchas Malava,
yeah.
There's another Tacna who's mentioned briefly, a Yehuda Nissan?
Yes, and it's true.
Did you recall him at all, either?
It's difficult for me to remember him, you know. You know, the story is already since 1939. How many years there is?
His memory is altogether
over. Yeah, I remember, see, I got a sit back a few years ago. I lost a part of my memory, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. But 50, 60 years ago, I still remember what was going on.
You think Leo might remember more, Sean?
Huh?
Leo?
Yeah, he knows more or less. I introduced you sometime to a fellow which he was in a concentration camp, you know. He can tell you stories about the ghetto.
He might know the names from that.
Yeah, he knows, sure he knows. He knows everybody, you know. So anyway, to look over those old things, you know, when I come home to Malava, I met a few people, youngsters. They were younger than I was. They were in concentration camp. They were working as laborers by the German factories, you know, and they lived over that time, you know. They were lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a few of them, about 6, 8 in Malava. But I went out to look around Malava, find out at the cemetery that I find nothing. And I hear that on the top, in the cemetery, underground, there were skeletons, bones, you know. The Goyim, the Gentiles, was up anti-Semitic. They digged out those corpses and they tear out the golden teeth from those people. So my obligation was to put together all the bones and make one grave. And put up a stone, you know. It's a whole story about it. I'll show you pictures. I made the exomatsi, they call it. And what else you want to know, tell me?
Oh, a lot of things. I almost don't know how to start. I'll tell you, some of my traveling across this, what I'm trying to learn about, is other than just my direct family, some of the other technas. Because I think there were more Tacna there.
There were not a Tacna, but I can describe.
What's the name, Shimon, in Shul, there was some name mentioned that said his relatives came from Malava. You knew the name, but I don't know who it is, or the name.
The other Tachnas, I remember, there was organizations in Malava, a Shomer HaTzair, a young organization. But we belonged to them, most of them belonged to them, you know. I remember it was a Malka Tachna, I guess, was she, you know. She was a relative, and those Tachnas, I don't know, but I remember she was. But those Tachnas in here, there was 11 children, you say, was over there?
Yeah, my grandfather was the third to the youngest. the third to the being the baby of the family.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened to him? Why did he die so young?
Well, my grandfather,
your father.
My father, he had lung cancer. He developed, and he wasn't much of a smoker. He did like in earlier years. It's hard to say.
But he didn't know too much about Malawi, you know. I was a newborn here, so I could meet him that time 10 years ago. I didn't know there's a Tachna here in Malawi.
Well, my grandfather. My father was always very excited to show me was that in the book of Malawi.
Yeah.
He always used to point to my grandfather's picture. It's a soccer team. I'm told my grandfather was very athletic. He liked to kick around the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's of his club. My father always used to. There now. My father didn't know Yiddish either.
No, I was born here.
Yeah.
He doesn't know Yiddish. A little bit something.
The most my father told me too, I guess it's perhaps the most he knew, was that just about all of the family was killed.
Yeah.
And that somewhere down the line the family was perhaps big rabbis or big names, you know, as far as he heard or could remember. My grandmother was from Neshelsk, a nearby town, so she didn't know too much of Malawi itself. Mm.
His mother is from Hungary. Yes,
my mother is too.
Oh, okay. Very pride, lots of pride too in being Hungarian.
You look a little bit to your more than into grandfather's sister, you know. It looked a little bit like.
One of his sisters was here as well. She came 1920. Her name was Brindle. I think in English it kind of became Bessie.
Mm-hmm.
She came here with her husband 1920. He was from the town of Neshelsk.
Neshelsk?
Yeah. And they came in 1920. They had three children, one of them my grandmother. And they first settled, I think, in Pittsburgh for a while, which is where my grandfather was for a while before coming here to Detroit. They set up over time a chicken business. Mm-hmm. Not a kosher one, but out in Hamtramck.
How many got away from Poland?
This is a funny story. Two brothers, two older...
You were Zay there?
Zay and two of his older brothers went to Mexico.
Yeah.
Zalman and Loser. What time they went, I don't know, but it was before the war. The youngest brother, or I think even the baby of the family he was, his name was David. He tried to come to Mexico to leave Poland, and I guess because of the quotas, they wouldn't let him stay.
Mm-hmm.
Even, I guess, my grandfather and another brother, who was in Pittsburgh, tried getting him in, you know, petitioning the government. They sent them back.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess soon after, he was killed. Now, the fate of what happened to him is more clear. As I understand, it was more known that back in Malawi, when the Nazis occupied the town, they made him one of the, I guess, the Judenrat. And at one occasion, I guess, showing a sign of force, they hung him, along with, I think, about 50 other more prominent or symbolic members of the town.
In Malawi?
Yeah. So he's the only relative anything definite was heard of.
So how many left of him? Oh, about 6, 7, that's me.
Yeah, there was...
Something like that.
There was another brother of my Zadie who was in Pittsburgh. And he was here just before my grandfather came. So that was 4 boys, two of the daughters came here. I believe that was it.
That's mean 5 left over in Malawi, yes?
Yeah.
Your grandfather died before the war, I bet you.
That's what I'm told. I'm told,
He was an old man, I understand.
You recall how old
he was? Yeah, I guess. He was like my father's, father's
great grandfather you're talking about.
I like, my father was born in 1865, 1870, something like, from that generation, you know, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So my father died before the war. I was 64 years old, you know, 4 weeks before the war. My mother and 5 brothers and a sister, they all died in concentration camp. loaded them on trains, on cattle trains. They sent them out to Auschwitz and destroyed, not left of. My property left of it not far from New Zealand. I built a property in 1937, a new one, like 500 feet from New Zealand, from the Tachnes in Malawi. But there was a industry property, you know, in brick, you know. New Zealand's property was lumber, you know, wood. Old, very old, you know. Those was, you know, in time of the war, destroyed, burned up. The mines left it, and I was in Malawi 4 years after the war, and I come home from Russia, and I sold that property, you know, left Poland. I left for Israel. Mm-hmm. I didn't come here. I left for Israel. I have a very rich family here. They died already in Georgia, but I didn't want to come here. I want to go after the whole story, after the whole wars and the Holocaust. I didn't want to go no place in the world. I want to go to Israel, and I went to Israel. I was 4 years in Israel. My wife came over, she left me there. She married me, and I come here. It's 4 years, so I'm here. But in those stories, there's plenty. I'll show you right away that I want to talk before.
Mm-hmm. And there's a few Malava here that we see. This Leo Beals, his name in Malava was longer, but he shorted, made it short here, Beals. He lives just a couple blocks here. Then there's another one, Ramey. Sal
Ramey? Sure, I'm related to the Ramey's.
Oh, you are?
There's a Sam Ramey who was one of the... It's funny, my Zadie Tacna was also an uncle to his wife, my grandmother. And the Ramey's are somehow, there was a Sam Ramey, somehow related, yeah. I'm not sure, like a cousin of something or somehow.
I don't know Sam Ramey.
You know those Ramey's?
That's his brother,
mm-hmm.
That's Sam.
Okay.
It's probably in the same family.
I imagine, if I hear the name, because I know there are Ramey's.
They hang in the ghetto 10 people. In the ghetto. Mm-hmm. For smuggling something, you know, just an excuse. And they buried them on the cemetery. On the Jewish cemetery. But I took those people, I mean, I told you before, those left over, the bones, the skeleton, and I made a grave next to the 10 people. And I put it up a stone. 2 days later, the Polacks broke that stone. Because it was written in Hebrew and in Polish. The Hebrew was on the top and the Polish was on the bottom to say that it's supposed to be the opposite side. Polish is supposed to be on the top. So I put up another stone over there. So it was standing a few years and they destroyed it anyway, you know. So, this is this where the broken stone here that lays down the other day. This is also the broken stone.
And this was on top of the mass grave.
Yeah.
The common
grave. Yeah. See how that looks like the bones. You see the skeletons?
Yeah. Yeah. So these were from the older burials as well.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever it was, a few hundred years, the cemetery, I imagine so, you know. Yeah. We find a fresher one. See a human being over there? That's what the text, Polish and Hebrew. You see what was written in the Hebrew on the top and Polish on the bottom, so they didn't like it. There was 45. That was the... That looked like the stone, original, but I put it up.
And was this new grave on the site of the original?
Yeah.
The original cemetery?
Yeah. This was the second stone. The second stone, I didn't write in Hebrew at all. He wrote it in Polish. And I didn't put it up the stone standing, but on a slide like this, you know, and on the bottom I build it up cement at the foundation so they won't break it. It was a few years, that was a second stone. You can see exactly what it is. Those people, they were, see, this is the foundation of the broken stone. Those people that were, and the rest, they come back from Russia, they were in Russia at the time of the war. It's the same thing, those skeletons. Maybe my parents were there, and your grandparents, whatever, it was there. Possible they were there. That left over a piece of that fence of the cemetery was left over.
So it was the cemetery fence?
Yeah. We put those bones in boxes, so we put it in the grave. The wooden boxes, the old stone, they accumulate it and put it in the grave. Yes, the same thing. Another box I'm here, you see. This is a gentile helping collect those bones. You all hear the whole bunch of weight. Well, body helps me. This building is on the same side as your grandparents' property was. There was a little bit to the left. There was the Jewish, what you call it, the Judenrat, you know, from the ghetto. You know what the Judenrat is?
Yeah, they were like the Jewish police.
Yeah.
Was this top of Gas Street as well?
Yeah, yeah. This is the nicest house on that street, the newest. So here I'm at all here. All skeletons. Yeah, I am too. I organized the whole thing, you know.
Well, before you and the others started to rebury the victims, how were they left? How had they been, after the atrocities occurred, how was everything left? Just spread out in the open? I mean, did they just leave the victims on the ground?
You mean when they took care of it?
Yeah. From the time that the murders happened.
There was a normal cemetery, but the Gentile looked it out. The citizen of Molave, they digged out those people.
And many of the Jews who were hanged and shot,
They were in a grave. They were on the cemetery in a grave over there. They hanged them in the ghetto, they carried him over to the cemetery, and they buried him over there. 10, 12, I don't remember exactly how many there were there. There was an old cemetery, an old, very old, hundreds of years there. They didn't left out as much of it.
Wow. All the stones were completely destroyed?
The stones, there were a gentleman removed the stones from the cemetery, a few hundred stones, and he used them for all kinds of purposes. When I come home and I find out and I went over there, Pollack took over the business. He took away from Pollack after the war, and the German left Poland, he took over again there. And I saw the stones standing, laying around in that special place, you know. So I picked up those stones which I wanted, and I put it up in the cemetery. But they're still, I don't know if they still are in Malawi, but they
Isaac,
were...
Remember, Isaac was there a few years ago. He says there's no cemetery, no nothing. Nothing there.
Yeah, I mean, he was hidden out in Poland someplace.
All that history is just...
So more or less, you know, all for next time, when they were exhumed, those people. Or we're carrying those boxes to the grave. Accumulating in pails, you know, putting together all kinds of pieces and throwing them in the boxes this year, all from the bodies.
Did you say a Polish youth? He looks...
Yeah, I hired them, a few of them, to help me out. You know.
So, what kind of building?
This is in the section over there in the neighborhood, you know. It's not over there. The building, it was a building over there in the cemetery. It was removed, you know. Those old pictures, I gave it to the, what you call them, to the Holocaust Center, and they, the original, they copied them. That was their job, you know. That's, and they have the same set of pictures over there, in the story about that. They give you the information
yeah.
that I know, you know.
Yeah, it was librarian Mrs. White.
Yeah. I don't know even, this is not Jews and animals, this is just a picture from a while.
Well, these were, most of these photos, mostly of individuals, were mailed from them to my grandfather here, I guess postcards. Mm-hmm. And the originals had like brief captions in Polish, like for remembrance. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
Well, this was one of the brothers that went to Mexico. I think he was the oldest son.
Mm-hmm. And he?
That was Zalman. He went to Mexico as well.
What year did he go to Mexico? Oh, the 30s of Mexico.
I'm not sure.
This I remember. That was your grandfather, yeah?
Well, that was actually my grandfather's brother-in-law. That's here is Shimon Alter's daughter. This would be Shimon Alter's grandson right here.
He might remember.
He was, a Silverstein or Silverstein?
The name is, the face I remember, it was a stocky, you know, a short fellow.
Uh-huh.
This is old pictures, very old pictures, very old.
This was the youngest who was hanged, was known. Whose fate was known.
It was between the ten, looks like. And see, that fellow when we meet, you will,
This was taken in 1931 in Israel. This was one of my grandfather's first cousins. Mm-hmm. And when she married, she left Malava. This was taken in Beit HaKerem, I guess just around Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Now, I suppose that, I'm not sure whether or not he survived. Again, nobody heard from him. I guess most people probably wrote him off for dead, but I believe he was the one who wrote the letter to the relatives here in the United States saying what was being done to the others by the Germans. Mm-hmm. Now, this photo from the original was dated about 1924 or so. Looks she was much older during the war.
Looks like the older people, all the toughness, they were away from home. The leftover, they weren't so populated already, you know. The older one, they were populated. The younger one, we don't hear you anymore, like, you know. This way I can remember them well, you know. But they were very, very famous in Malawi. We hear a lot about it.
You know what they're famous for? I mean, usually I know people for being popular because they're good athletes or...
You know. They were sports, they were modern people, I remember, you know, not exactly. Most of the war, I can tell you too much about it, you know. Maybe he knows the bills, so he will tell you more about the ghetto, you know. He, before we were spread out in the whole city, but the ghetto, they concentrated close to each other, you know, in a certain section, there was the ghetto. The Tapergats were the heart of the ghetto, you know.
The Tapergats were the main streets or bigger streets?
No, it was a very small street. Mm-hmm. The street was the end of the city almost, you know, close to the out, you know. There was the beginning of the street over there, further down to the south, was a church. A German church was over there. And all those Gentiles were living in that Tepegat. It was a narrow street. And the Jewish people in the wooden houses were over there. And they were almost by the end over there. The Tachlis were on the right side by the end, you know. There was in Polish, they call it Zduiska. Zduiska. What is a Zduiska? See, those were fields already. They were the type of gas. My property was here. And they was living in here, in the corner like this. And here was further down. The seat was going like this. And this. Called this Warsaw Street. And this was Tepegas. I read this in this. Zduńska, Polish heißt Zduńska. Their property was here, you know. And close to the backyard, it was already on the field, you know. They had those letters, you know. It needs a special place with barrels underground, you know, to shocked that lady, you know. I guess I was over there, you know.
The whole big work.
They were good off, you know. They had a good business, not too many business. Too often maybe a warm love the kind of business. And here was this, and here was houses. The street was going Plotska, this guy is in the Plotska. To the south, to Warsaw, but that's can get to Warsaw, you know. And here, up here was the main, what you call it, bazaar, you know, the main
market,
yes. And it was by 25,000 people, 4,000 Jews or more, 4,000 or 5,000. There wasn't rich, there was some rich people, but mostly were, you know, shoemakers, tailors, you know, mechanics, you know, all, you know.
I once went to the Mormon Family History Library. Someone said usually they're a good place to check for records, and I did it. I looked up Malava, and I did find some records, birth records, marriage records, going back to 1854, I think is the earliest. And it has my great-great-grandfather, Shimon Alter's father, who was in his 20s. Him and what looks like to be another age, another Tachna, probably his brother.
It was some Tachna, not another Tachna. I remember a girl, I remember a Tachna. She was belonging to the organization, you know. I remember that it was. But how they were related, I don't know.
Yeah. But I was wondering too, do you remember that there's like just one or two Tachnas, or were there perhaps like a lot of relatives? Or?
I don't think so, there was a lot of them. There was that family, you know, that particular family youths, and they are not, they related, but not, I wouldn't say there were a lot of them. But you tell me there were 11 children, I didn't know there were 11 children over there.
Yeah.
But one I remember, a sportsman, well, maybe it was him, you know. I was an elegant fellow, he was older than I am, but he was some, you know, a modern fellow in attractive. I remember I can pitch them a little bit, you know. But before the war, I don't know, I lost track on that family. Maybe I was too busy with my business, you know. And it was before the war, the last years, a few years before the war, the anti-Semitism was terrible, Paul. Terrible. Matter of fact, we had a business bottling beer from our brewery, and we producing pop, lemonade, seltzer water, that kind of business we had. And they become such, they started to boycott us, you know, boycott on Jewish people. They hardly could make a living by the end of it. It was so bad and poor, terrible, we couldn't take it anymore. So the life started to be not interested, you know, at that time in Poland. The Jews were suffering so much, and Malawi was particularly an anti-Semitic city, you know. And the mistake was theirs, they could go away from Poland. They could go away from Poland. The Russia, the border to Russia was open. They could, but people don't want to run, you know, from home. They were afraid. They don't know what the future was going to be. The Dutch and German didn't have no problems with the Jews that destroyed the Jews in Poland. Just Warsaw Ghetto resisted. Some of them in East Poland resisted too, but mostly they were taken in the cattle, in the trains, and they sent them away like that. Same with my family, your family, whatever is over there. There's left over a few hundred people from Malawi, maybe 100, 150, that's all.
No, that's my great-grandmother here. This is one
I remember a little bit. I remember it a little bit.
This is one of the Tachna daughters here. I guess that's a granddaughter. She's known to have lived through the war and probably have died during it.
It must be. She was alive before the war. Eventually she died in the ghetto, or took her out and used to the concentration camp like anybody else. Who was she, you say?
She was one of my grandpa's older sisters. She was killed in a pogrom between the wars. Her husband, during World War I, came to the United States, mainly with the aim of getting some money and business, and then returning to Poland, where they hoped to open a farm, you know, where they were comfortable to do so. And what my grandma recalls is that some Polacks robbed them and killed them one night.
In Poland?
In Poland, yeah.
Initially, not in Malawi.
No, I believe my grandma said they moved somewhere else. Somewhere more in the country.
So you have that pinkus now. You're the possessor of it.
I have this at home.
It was printed in Asia. It's a shame that you don't know how they can. You would enjoy it very much. In Israel, there was a lot of Malawi years of friends of mine. My age, they were the same organization, but they all, 99% died of that, my age. Now, they had difficult times in Israel. There were Halutzim, you know Halutzim, the first
pioneers.
We were in Israel last year, May. We had a convention in Malawi in Israel. People I didn't see about 40, 50 years from concentration camp, from before the war, from Argentina, from Rio de Janeiro, from Australia, you know, from all over. Whatever it is, alive in Malawi, they come. We have about 60, 70 people in Malawi, you know, in Israel. And we were 8 days, we were going around seeing the country, we had meetings with the party, this and that. That's all that. Mostly single.